live to live righteously. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It is episode number 363, wherein we visit with Emily Freeman and David Butler. You do not want to miss this. In fact, don't miss this. That is their YouTube channel, and they are authors of books called Don't Miss This. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I have to claim I am just as ignorant as you guys are. You guys don't know what you've gotten yourself into, and I have no idea until this morning as I started looking into what you guys do, how awesome you guys are. So I hope that you guys, I hope reflectively you guys feel like this is an awesome opportunity. Which one of you wants to tell people essentially what it is that you guys do?
You do.
Okay,
Emily does.
I will.
Perfect.
I'll do. So last year, about this time, when Come Follow Me very first came out, we had a lot of people, because we're both teachers, asking us what we were going to do.
What kind of teachers are you guys?
I teach seminary.
I teach institute at UVU.
Okay.
And so as we were talking about that, and we were getting, both of us, a lot of phone calls, I was like, we should just put something up for people to help them. So it could be short. We could do like 20 minutes. And mm-hmm. then we debated, where should we do it? And I was like, do you think you could figure out YouTube? And he
They've
was
heard
like,
of this YouTube. Do you think you could figure it out, David? I think I could probably figure out YouTube.
Yeah, that's what happened.
How do you two know each other?
Teaching seminary.
Okay.
We met through seminary.
So you taught seminary, but now teach institute?
Right.
Okay.
And I first taught Emily's son, Josh. Like one of my first years, I started teaching seminary at Lehigh, and then that's how we met.
We call those the mistake years, the first couple of years where you're like, I don't know.
Bless their hearts, all those people. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's so true.
So you guys decided, okay, we're going to try this YouTube thing. To do what? Why?
We were going to give these 20-minute videos to all these ladies that we know, like 150 ladies that just wanted help doing Come Follow Me. And so we threw something up the first week, and it was fun. We love teaching together. We've written books together for years. We have really similar study habits, and we generally talk on the phone almost every day about scripture, either arguing or figuring out a topic or something. And so it wasn't hard. It would be easy for us, we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's something there, apparently. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, 3 weeks. It was more than 150 people who were watching the videos. And I can remember we had a phone conversation, and I was like, I think we're really doing this.
I think we're stuck. Uh-huh. I think we're stuck in it.
Yep.
So what was just born out of hey, let's help a few people. Like, I was looking, you guys have 77,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's huge. Excuse me.
Huge. You got emotional.
I know. I got welled up with tears right there. No, that's a huge thing. But several of your videos have several thousand views. And what it is you just break down each section of the Come Follow Me.
Yeah, we really get into the scriptures, and this is why it's called Don't Miss This. There are parts in every chapter we love. We can't help it. We just love scripture so much. And so as we get in there, our thought was there are some things in this chapter you don't want to miss, and mm-hmm. we want to make sure you don't miss it. And so we're going to sit down and go through, this is the best. Like, this is the best of what you're going to be looking at this week in Come Follow Me, and we're going to help walk you through it.
So I know you guys are a seminary and an institute teacher, respectively, but I don't know anything more about you beyond that. So let me start with David, since we made Emily go first. Like, who are you? You came into being in a seminary and then institute teacher. Where are you from? What's your story?
I'm from Texas, Sugarland, Texas.
Okay.
It's just right outside of Houston.
Okay.
And
is that a nice part of Texas?
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah. Most parts of Texas,
Texas
are nice.
Well,
just so you know.
Well, Texas.
So if you ask anyone from Texas, all parts of Texas are nice. If you ask anyone not from Texas, no, not all parts of Texas are nice.
So all the Texas I know is just beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I came up here for school, up to Utah for school.
Okay.
And then have just kind of stuck around ever since. And
family born and raised in the church, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Parents?
Yeah. My parents
Where did it happen? Where did it happen for your family? Are you pioneer stock?
Oh, my grandparents.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have two grandparents who are converts, and then two grandparents who have history. But don't ask me what the history is, because I don't know it. But one day I'll learn it, everyone.
Don't miss this, the genealogy edition. Did you know?
Yeah. So I have two grandparents who joined the church, and then a grandmother on one side and a grandfather on the other side, and then the other two have history in it, but I think with their spouses joining and coming in kind of infused a fire in, you know, in the ones who, you know, were in it.
So how was the church for you growing up?
Meaning what?
Like,
what do you mean?
Like in high school, there's not 1,000 LDS kids down in Texas.
You know what?
That Mormon kid? We could say that because back then we could be Mormon kids.
Yeah, this was, we're talking in the past. I always felt like we had a big, nice, solid group, you know? At least in my year, like the kids in high school who were members of the church. Oh, man, I think we had at our high school probably 30.
Oh, wow.
Ish. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, and everybody kind of, we all got along. Not like we weren't just friends because of church. That's where we met. Mm-hmm. But we were legitimately friends with each other. And everybody did something kind of different and were kind of good in their area, like the sport they played or whatever, where they were good. And then, so in our high school, I think most people knew, you know, that we were Mormons. Our high school is super diverse. The county I come from is the most diverse county in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Like, racially. And so, and then religion, obviously, we're pretty diverse also.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of Baptists who had their eye on us a little bit, like some of our friends did back
wait a
then.
Minute. Okay. I'm watching you.
Yeah. And then a lot of people who just, you know, really just came from all sorts of backgrounds and everything. But it was a really cool place to grow up. Like, I loved growing up there. Like, I would raise kids there in a heartbeat. And
what was the desire then to leave it and come to Utah?
Because
Utah is very non-diverse. In fact, we have the least diverse county in the entire United States.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm experiencing it all. When I came up here just for school, mm-hmm. I came up to go to BYU, and then just have stayed. I had siblings who lived up here, though, after I got married, and then Jenny, my wife's siblings and family was from here. And then when I kind of fell into seminary teaching, we just...
A lot more opportunity, certainly,
here
in Utah.
Somewhere else. So that's what's kept us here.
Cool. Emily, what's your story?
Okay. I grew up in Utah.
Okay.
Lived outside of Utah for 1 year because my dad was called as a mission president.
Nice. Where was that?
Ventura, California.
There you go.
So my senior year of high school.
A lot of like farming and stuff in Ventura, right?
Ocean.
Okay. A lot of ocean and stuff in that part of California, right?
Ocean farming.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Ocean farming. Yeah.
It's called fishing.
Yeah.
In some circles.
It's you hear it in the Beach Boys song. It's right there. So that was fun. And same. I had a lot of diversity where I was in California. And met a lot of people who were not LDS, which was a great experience for me. And then...
was that sort of interesting, though, because if I'm getting my math right, you're a 17, 18-year-old girl, and the missionaries are coming through the mission home a bunch.
So you'll love this part.
Okay. You married one of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah!
There was a bump set spike right there.
But his heart was locked, I swear, is the next thing you have to say. No. We're different. Now, I know you've heard this before, but we are different. Yeah.
So President Monson set my parents apart when we went on our mission. Mm-hmm. And I was the exact wrong age to go on a mission. That is so true. And every bishop and stake president I ever saw reminded me of the fact that I was the wrong age to serve a mission with my family. Mm-hmm. And then on the way out the door from that setting apart, President Monson grabbed my hand in his hands and said, "Now listen to me." And I knew what he was going to say, but he didn't. He said, "When you pick which of those missionaries you are going to marry, you make sure you pick the very best one."
Oh, wow.
So that was his advice on the way out the door. And
I hope you did. I hope that's where the story ends.
I picked the one.
Greg,
that's true.
Like, and I picked the fourth best.
Yeah. I tried a few.
Greg was the best. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So he married the mission president's daughter. That is true. And that's a good story in and of itself. But
where's he from?
He's from Bountiful.
Okay. You guys are Utah.
Yeah, we are. And he grew up not with religion in his background. Mm-hmm. He went to a Baptist church for a while. His dad actually started a telephone church with his grandpa for a while,
cool.
a radio church.
Like, if you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a radio church. And then he had a really great group of friends in high school who were all going to go on missions mm-hmm. and went to seminary. Mm-hmm. And he thought, I might as well go to seminary and go on a mission because right. everyone else is.
Yeah.
And
that religious peer pressure that only Utah knows how to do.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go teach people for a couple of years. What's this about? I don't know.
So their whole family went through the temple the year he went on a mission, and then they've been active ever since.
Cool.
And then I just grew up. I was born into it and was raised in it, and I love everything that has to do with Jesus, so it was a good fit for me.
I would say so. If you love everything that has to do with Jesus. Like, I I'm teasing a little bit, but, like, I love that that's a bold claim. You're like, I love everything to do with Jesus.
So that's true.
So what a great come out as far as that goes. So you guys get together. This is only a year-old enterprise. Mm-hmm. And decide, hey, we're going to help people understand the scriptures? Is it you guys were looking for something to do sort of part-time?
No.
Something that you guys could
no,
do?
No, we were not.
Something that you guys
we
could
were
do
not
together?
Thinking of that.
Like, because I have those people in my life where I'm like, you would be really fun to collaborate on something. No idea what that would be. And so it just sort of rests.
Yeah, no, we are super busy, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy
kids, I presume.
Busy. Yeah, my kids are all grown and gone.
Okay.
And I have littles. 6, 15 to 5.
You have 6 kids?
Uh-huh. So we weren't looking. We've done a lot of stuff. Like, we figured out several years ago that we love collaborating and doing things together. Wild ideas, like just anything. Like
yeah,
we just
and they're spur of the moment, usually.
Yeah.
Like, we all of a sudden we're like, we should do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, this was hatched like December 29th.
Right.
And we launched the first video like January 2nd or something. I don't even remember what it is. And, like, my kids, my son was, like, scrolling through the old YouTube videos. And, you know, he was just, like, found the very first one. He was like, what's wrong with y'all in this one? Because the camera angle's all wonky. Yeah. And, like, we've straightened it up since then. There haven't been that many, improvements.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
some
true.
Major
it's not
ones
very
from
professional.
That first one. Yeah.
But we love teaching scripture. So give us a place to teach scripture. And we are so happy. In that place.
I want to take a break for a second. When we come back, I want to talk about the actual, like, this is what people can expect if they go to the YouTube channel or if they get the book, like the nuts and bolts of this whole thing. We'll come back and do that in the second block of the Cultural Hall. I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks in large part to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something, and then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N @gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
Hey, this is Dan the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. Are you experiencing panic attacks, nausea, or diarrhea? Is your computer not turning on? Is it running super slow? Is your internet crawling? Or is it just randomly crashing? You could be suffering from ICS, Irritable Computer Syndrome. I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you had your PC cleaned? Over time, Windows, updates, spyware, malware, and dangerous viruses will make your computer run like crap. You need to bring in your laptop or desktop PC, no matter what brand it is, and let me run a 100% free virus scan, malware, and spyware scan on your computer. Don't wait and risk losing everything. Now, why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that if you or any of your friends or family need a computer, service, or phone repair, you come to PC Laptops first. Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, where computers start at $799. PC Laptops, we love you!
If you love the Cultural Hall, and I don't know why you wouldn't, make sure that you become a Patreon subscriber of such. It's patreon.com/thecultural hall. You spell Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and you can do different levels of sponsorship. You can just become a great friend of the show, and you get to be a part of that sacred, not secret, Facebook group that you can be kind of that back fan of the show, where we will give you all the news first, and we have conversations around each of the episodes and articles of news that we do. So if you've thought about it, you've been sitting on the fence, and you're like, you know what, it's a new year, it's time for a new me, let me throw a couple shekels towards the Cultural Hall, do so. It's patreon.com/theCulturalHall. So don't miss this. It's a YouTube channel. You guys have a book for the New Testament.
That Book of Mormon, been, really?
Book of Mormon.
But now it's the Book of Mormon. Or did you not have a book before, and now this is the first one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys have the Book of Mormon, because obviously with Come Follow Me in 2020, we're going to be doing the Book of Mormon.
Right.
So walk me through. How does this work?
So we actually have this year. So last year, we just did the YouTube videos.
Okay.
And there was a free download you can do every week that helped you take notes while you were watching the videos, and it's kind of fun. And then we did a lot of talking to people last year about what did they need, what did they feel like they were missing.
Uh-huh.
And people talked a lot about, first of all, they weren't confident in their teaching ability. They weren't even sure what they would teach their families.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what we keep in the back of our mind. But we also love giving people tools just to help make life easier.
Okay.
So this year they'll have a journal they can watch the videos with. It's already bound, because everyone last year was like, our papers are getting lost all over the house. So we bound a journal that they can keep all their video papers. And then we have a devotional book, which we are super excited about, that is different for this year.
Tell me.
So people talk about, they do Come Follow Me on Sunday with their family,
mm-hmm.
but they kind of want to do a little week, every day of the week something, but
yeah.
they don't know what they want it to look
right.
like. And we debated
right.
if we could choose anything in the world. And it's fun, because my kids are older and spread apart, but I still want to be involved with my kids as they do Come Follow Me. David's kids are all at home. So we debated something that would work for families or individuals mm-hmm. or couples or whatever. So we have a devotional book this year that you can just sit at your kitchen table if you do scriptures in the morning, or mm-hmm. if you do them at night. There's a 2-minute story in there that you can read. And then this year we're going to be doing something fun, which we are just announcing in the next week. So this might be a surprise.
Oh, tell me.
That are conversation cards. And they'll come every week for free in our newsletter. And you're going to cut out one card. There's 5 cards, one for every day of the week,
mm-hmm.
but just one for the weekend, because seriously, who does scriptures every single night? Yeah,
come on. Come on. Give me a break.
You're 5 exactly. out of 7. You're golden.
Yeah,
that's our motto.
Just do 5. And the conversation cards are going to have a question that will help start a discussion, because we have a lot of moms say to us, we don't know how to start a good discussion with our kids. So it's going to have a...
So one verse, it starts with one verse of scripture.
Yep.
From like a chapter that's in that week's schedule.
Cool.
You know,
and then
so it's
a
just
discussion
simple.
Question.
And then a question, yeah.
And then David's kids were like, how old are your 2 boys?
15 and 14.
They wanted a challenge. They're like, give me a challenge every day. They don't want to ponder. They like want
to. Give me to do something.
Quiet.
I got so much energy. I got so much energy. Can I have something to do, please?
Yep. So it'll have a challenge at the bottom of
simple,
every single card.
Simple something they can do the next day at school or something.
Give me an example.
Okay, right at the beginning of the book, we just made one sheet already. We're already one in. So Nephi talks about the tender mercies, right?
Uh-huh.
So the discussion will be
made
about...
Made popular by...
Elder Bednar. Yeah. Well, Nephi, but then...
Well, sure.
You know.
But then a few years, and
yeah.
then Elder Bednar.
Okay, so the discussion is, how is God tender and how is he merciful? What are those?
Yeah, what even is a tender
yeah.
mercy?
That's the discussion. And then the night's challenge, I mean, you end and say, okay, tomorrow, watch for them.
Okay.
So something simple like that. How does God answer prayers? You know, because in chapter 2, he answers Lehi's prayer. Okay, so what are the different ways he answers prayers? And then, tomorrow watch for those. Or be a little bit more deliberate in your prayers tomorrow. Just like something just simple like
cool.
that.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool. And the kids have responded pretty well to it?
Well,
it's just new. We don't know yet.
We've been doing that in our house. We just were jumping around trying to figure out how do we do like scripture study at night? And we would read a chapter of scripture and I was like, this is disastrous. And no one even likes it. And
a
like,
lot of fighting.
We like, yeah.
A lot
and I was
of yelling.
Like, no one understands.
Get
I was
back
like,
here.
Yeah.
You are gonna feel the spirit. Get back here! If you don't get back here, you're gonna feel the spirit. That's what's gonna happen.
Why are you spying on me? How do you know exactly what's going on
that,
in my
by
house?
By the way, an audio recording from David Butler's home.
So we were like, I was like, this is not good. And I was like, and it's not meaningful. Like, mm-hmm. we're doing scripture, which is like great. But I was like, I think the purpose of scripture is supposed to like draw us closer to God and closer to each other. And I don't think either of them are happening because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And it's not meaningful. So I was like, what if we just simplified it? Like, what if we, let's just, how about one power verse from like a chapter? And then yeah. we can actually talk about what's in it. You guys, what's that look like? What's he actually saying here? You know, and so that it was short and simple and yet meaningful.
And applicable, right? Yeah. Because they walk away with something that they can make that verse part of their everyday life.
Yeah. And like, I think people should read full chapters of scripture in
yeah,
their life.
You're not saying, okay, yeah. so be very clear because sometimes people read into things what they want.
Yeah.
You're not saying just read a verse of every chapter. There's value in reading the whole thing, but...
Yeah, but for us, it was a lot more meaningful yeah. to be able to sit down and actually talking about one verse was more meaningful than just reading through all that, you know, we didn't understand. And plus, I've got this huge range of 15 down to 5 years old, you know, yeah. and it's like, what do
Although
I even do
Although in some way, the 15-year-old
like
right on par with the 5-year-old, yeah. right?
Don't let him yeah. listen to this.
Yeah. He won't.
Well, no. Any kids are like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, you may be close to driving, but emotionally, yeah. let's yeah. talk about yeah. where you're
right,
exactly
right.
like that kid right there.
So they just responded so well to it. And then as we talked about, okay, how can we help? We thought, let's help people's like daily study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come to the YouTube channel. Some people watch it together as a family, or they show segments of it in church, in a Sunday school class. But I think the majority of people who watch the YouTube video will be somebody who's watching it to kind of study the chapter on their own mm-hmm. before they go and take what they've learned and then pick and choose what they want to share, you know, either at church or with their family or teach their kids or their group or whatever. People really are using it in all sorts of different ways, but it was kind of like a once a week activity, I think, for people was that. Or if they use it on like their Sunday study, you know, as a couple or whatever, a lot of people do that. But we thought, oh, how do we help people every single day?
Yeah, be able to find something to do, which is why the idea of the devotional book was born. Because we're like, what if you just had these 2-minute devotionals that you could yeah. just open it up? It tells you the chapter, every single chapter. We pulled out our very favorite verse, and then we talked about what does that verse teach us? What do we learn from it? What's the culture and the context and the things happening behind that verse that you maybe wouldn't know if you just looked at the verse? Our goal is to give you as much information as we can find so mm-hmm. you can be the expert in your home when you become the teacher.
And do you guys, they're put out like a week before? Because I would imagine, okay,
yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you're like, yeah, and this week, well, I'm like, oh, it's already on the
yeah,
halfway
sorry,
through the
we're
week.
Already
or,
done.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're, yeah, we ours comes out, yeah, about 13 days before you're going to talk about it in church. So there's a lot of people will study for that first week, you know, with the YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll teach their family, you know.
That Sunday.
And then the next Sunday, everyone goes to church and talks about it. So like the kids and everyone's, oh, I've already studied this chapter before I go into church.
How long are the videos?
About 45 minutes. Remember when they were going to be 15?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we had people kept telling us, we actually want more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's less of like a 10-minute video and more of like an institute class.
Cool.
It's really what it ended up being. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just feels like you are attending an institute class. That's kind of the feel of the video.
And that's what people say too. They're just like, I miss going to a seminary. I miss going to institute, or I never went, or it's too far away, or we don't have one. So I feel like I'm attending a scripture institute class
yeah.
once a week.
That's a lot of responsibility though on the two of you guys, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
we're
don't
not
claim
very responsible
to be, yeah.
people. For, yeah. In the first place, we are not very responsible. And it is a lot of fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we do love scripture so much. Like, we are in it all the time. And so it's almost was just a natural, why wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't claim to, you know, I think we're pretty like casual on it
mm-hmm.
to just like.
We don't claim to be the experts.
Right, on anything. Anything we find that we're just like, look, this is what we found from these Bible scholars, you know, worth considering.
Right.
Here's a couple words that we really like, you know, and so there's no sense of like where it's almost you feel like you're a part of it. When we meet people around, town, which happens all the time. People will stop us, and they're so gracious and kind and everything. But usually they'll say, like, we feel like we're really good friends. You don't know who I am, but I feel like you're my good friend.
And we love that that is how it is, because when we get up to teach and no one's there except for the video camera, but we are thinking about all of those people that we're meeting at high school basketball games and in the grocery store and at the movie theater and in the airport. And I mean, just random places people will come up and be like, I study with you. And it is just so fun to think we've created this community without realizing it, of these really awesome people who just want to get into the scripture. And one other thing that's super fun is we have a lot of people who come up to us and say, I wasn't really into church things. I've never really enjoyed studying scripture. I had a lady grab me by the hands in Trader Joe's last week and say, I was leaving the church. Like, religion was not a big part of my life until I found the videos. And then all of a sudden, you made the scriptures interesting to me. And then I got in the scriptures, and it has been a life change for me. And I think sometimes having somebody talk about scripture in a way, we love scripture. We open every chapter and we're like, this is my favorite. And then the next day, this actually is my favorite. And I think there is something about spreading that enthusiasm that is life-giving to people. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's not exhausting to be doing the Come Follow Me program. It's exhilarating because everyone's like learning and loving and finding favorites and talking about it in their conversations with people. It's been really fun for us.
What did you guys think initially about the Come Follow Me idea? Initially, and then you can talk about how maybe it changed.
But no, okay.
Initially.
My very first reaction was I was actually super excited because it was scripture focused and scripture based. You know, it was like, oh, fantastic. Like topical stuff. You know, I don't even know what, you know. My first thought was like, isn't this what we've always kind of done? I don't really understand, you know, what is happening that's different. I think because it was a company with 2-hour church, it made it feel like it was like, okay, it's new. We're actually going to study scripture now, everybody. Here's our new thing. And it was like, wait, I feel like we've always done that. But it did like kind of jumpstart people into feeling like, I got to get into the scriptures, you know? And I thought, oh, this is going to be fantastic. Because for that reason, people are going to get, you know, into the scriptures, you know, and so I was thrilled. I thought it was great. I didn't get overwhelmed. A lot of people got overwhelmed when it came out, and maybe because I'm a teacher, that I didn't get overwhelmed. Some of the people who got overwhelmed, I think, thought, now I have to, you know, spend an hour at home, you know, doing this or whatever. And it was just kind of like, oh, settle down. No. You can do this.
Oh, you'll
like,
be all
this
right.
is just going to be.
And I think that's true, too. So many people, because we are lucky because we're in the scriptures every single day.
Right.
So when they were like, teach the scriptures, we were like, okay. But I talked to another cute gal in a restaurant one night. She grabbed me and pulled me over, and she said to her
husband, always grabbing you.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Hands off.
She was like, try these nachos.
And she said to her husband, do you know who this is? And he just was looking at me blankly. He had no idea who I was. And she was like, this is the reason we are doing Come Follow Me in our family. And then she said to him, remember in January when I told you we're not doing that? Because I don't know how to teach scripture and I don't feel confident, and we're not doing it. And then in April, she had gathered her whole family down together and they had their first lesson, and then now they've done it every week.
Cool.
And she said to her husband, this is what gave me the confidence to be able to teach our kids. And I called him right when I left the restaurant, and I was like, this is why we are doing this. This is the whole reason why we are doing this, is to give moms or dads or whoever it is the confidence to realize, I actually can teach scripture and enjoy it and be good at it. And that's what we want. We just want to equip people to feel confident in their ability to teach.
It's a pretty massive undertaking. I'm sure you guys, when you started getting into it and you're like, let's do a video and it'll be 15 minutes. Oh, yeah. No. How naive. Yeah. How naive are we?
Just probably why it worked, because we didn't, like, there was no strategy. There was no planning this out. It was just kind of like, let's just jump in. And then once we were in, just it just kind of kept going, you know? And it really has been like people saying how helpful it is that fuels it, you know? Like we honestly don't have time to do it. We don't have time to do this. And I'm not saying that to be a martyr. I'm saying it like, it just is like, oh, sometimes you look at the week and you're like, I don't even know when we're going to squeeze this in. And it's like uncanny that then you'll run into somebody who's just like, thank you for doing that and for helping. So it really is like, and I'm also not trying to be a saint either, you know, but that really fuels the energy of it is that people are, we've this community of people who are studying scripture together and it's becoming meaningful and they are developing a relationship with God, you know, that they're finding through scripture and discussion. Like that's what it's like. Oh, it kind of gives you the energy. That's the that's the Red Bull behind it.
I started the Red Bull. Watch it. No. That's approved caffeine. My bad.
That's the dark chocolate behind it.
You know, I started the conversation spouting some numbers, and that you guys have 77,000 subscribers. That's a lot. But then when you look at the numbers of the church, people who could truly benefit from a weekly, you know, video instruction about that, I mean, that's actually not that many. How are people finding you, do you guys find?
I think people find us from people who raise their hand in Sunday school and make a comment. I think it is generated through the trenches.
So essentially someone raises their hand and then someone else goes, how did you know that? Oh, there's this YouTube channel I watch. Okay.
And it was funny at the beginning. A lot of people told us we weren't going to tell our friends because we were getting so smart. And then we just wanted to be the smart one in the gospel doctrine class, you know. But I think it does. I think people are just like, this is actually helping me. So this would maybe help you. And we don't do any advertising.
Yeah. Yesterday, my cousin at dinner was saying that she's an elementary school teacher. And they have a little cohort of teachers that gathers together to do lesson plans or something. I don't know. And she said, we all sat down yesterday. And one of the teachers said, listen, before we start this, I have to tell you guys about something. You're just going to love it. It's every week. It's this video. It's called Don't Miss This. You're just, so I, you know, and my cousin was just like, I was just holding the ace in my back pocket for a second. When she was done, I was like, that's my cousin. And she was like, what? Why haven't you said anything? Why haven't you? But I feel like that's how it's happening. Is people just
I didn't know
love
if you would like orange juice, so I didn't want to offend you. You remember that talk from a few years ago?
And it's been fun because it has gone everywhere. We have people send us emails from all over the entire world. One of our favorites is a group of in Afghanistan.
Soldiers.
A group of soldiers in Afghanistan who watch us every Sunday. And we think about them every time we record.
Is there an opportunity where people, if they have questions, do you guys field that kind of thing? Or are you strictly the come follow me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like people will have questions like, I'm seriously struggling with whatever this thing may be. Is there opportunity? Have you guys done things like that?
People
is that something down the road?
People send us emails a lot. But we did last year. We love to teach tools that you can use to improve your study and become the expert. Like we want you to become the expert. And so we talk a lot about different translations of the Bible and using study Bibles when we were in the New Testament particularly. And then we got a million emails of people that were like, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what that is. We don't know if that is approved material to be diving into. So we did hop on and do a question and answer, and we've done that
Instagram live
like three times this year, and it actually was awesome. We should probably do that more often. That's a good.
Well, I'm not here to boss you.
Okay.
You can.
Although you might want to consider.
But it is true. Neither of us feel like the expert. We both are really behind the scenes people by nature. So we wouldn't ever consider we were the expert of something, but we are the type of people who are like, how can we help? Just tell us what you're doing and how could we help?
I want to take another break, and then when we come back in the third block, there are questions that we ask everyone who steps here into the cultural hall. We'll ask those of you, and I'll also ask you, I know that you guys both have a deep love for the scriptures, maybe favorite scriptures from the Book of Mormon as we look forward to the new year and what we're studying, and come follow me. We'll do that coming back in the third block of the cultural hall.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
I know that you're thinking Christmas is past, and you're right. It is, in fact, past, but you can still get great gifts for that loved one in your life, that person that loves the barbecue. You can go to patio-provisions.com and get all sorts of great sauces and or rubs for your smoking, for your barbecuing. It's our friend Todd and Susie, the Bullocks. They do Hay Grill Hay, and you can find all their products there at patio-provisions.com. If you guys use the promo code BACKROW at checkout, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. And why not get someone in your life something that you love? Something, it's essentially a gift for yourself if you think about it. You're buying them something so that they can cook you something really delicious. So think about that. It's patio-provisions.com. Make sure you use back row in the promo code line and save yourself some money. You guys, the Book of Mormon is probably, I want to say, my second favorite, if I can have favorite books to study.
Okay, we can't wait to hear your first.
So the Doctrine and Covenants is my favorite. I had the opportunity to serve a mission in Cleveland, which was Kirtland, so I got to experience a lot of that stuff kind of firsthand. And then Book of Mormon, I'm second, and then I'm New Testament, and then I'm Old Testament, and I'm just like, what are we even talking? Didn't the law get fulfilled? Can't we just like, can't this just be a thing?
You tune in Old Testament.
Yeah, you better that's our favorite. The Old Testament is our favorite. So
there's a lot to it,
then.
But I honestly, I'm like, didn't we do this?
Jesus, we're gonna win you
Jesus,
over. We're
Jesus
win you.
Came. We're done. It's
we're gonna
good.
Win
we're
you.
Good.
So, in 4 years from now, you'll have us back and say, my favorite is
okay. We'll
the Old
see.
Testament.
But as you guys look at the Book of Mormon, obviously that's going to be the thing that we don't want to miss this coming year. What are maybe a question for each of you? What's your favorite lesson that you take from the Book of Mormon? Something that you're excited to teach about or expound upon, or something that maybe doesn't get as understood as you would hope that it would. But as we're looking forward to studying the Book of Mormon, what's like the thing that just gets you excited for the upcoming year?
I think one thing that we have talked about a lot this year coming off of the New Testament, mm-hmm. We just had the opportunity to study Jesus's life in so much detail. Mm-hmm. And every single story we looked at, we talked about where was Jesus in the story. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people this year have come to know Jesus in a way they maybe didn't mm-hmm. before, which I love. We love that. And as we go into the Book of Mormon, we want to keep that same focus going in. A lot of times we go into the Book of Mormon and we're like, and we're going to learn about Lehi and Nephi and Helaman and Moroni and all these heroes that we have from the Book of Mormon. And this year we're like, we want to go into the Book of Mormon and learn about Jesus. Hmm. That's what we want to do. And we both have favorite scriptures from the Book of Mormon. I looked up two because I was like, I'll probably choose one. And there's a really good chance it's going to be the same one David would pick. But one of our favorites is in 2 Nephi. And Nephi says this, I glory in my Jesus. Hmm. And we love the thought about that, about my Jesus. This is the Jesus I know. This is the Jesus who has been a part of my life. And as we go through and think about each of the heroes of the Book of Mormon, their story is their story because they knew who Jesus was. And for me, that's what I'm looking for this year as I go into the Book of Mormon. Is I want to see Nephi's Jesus, and I want to see Alma the Younger's Jesus, and I want to see the Jesus of the mom of the stripling warriors. I want to see that Jesus through their eyes, because by the time the Book of Mormon is over, I want that to be my Jesus also by the time we finish.
I like that. That's a different approach than I've ever heard. Well, you shouldn't have gone second, David. That's what I feel like.
Don't worry. He will just pick right up on it.
Yeah, because that, I mean, and one thing that's so neat about, you know, we talked about those challenges of, for example, like look for tender mercies. Once you're looking for those things in your own story and in your own life, that is when the power, the scriptures become powerful. Is you're just like, wait, this is the same God. Like the God of Abinadi is my God also. So how is he interacting and working and moving? We want the book to not be about these lowercase heroes, but to be about the capital H hero. Like he is the central figure in the book. One of my favorite verses is at the end. Moroni says at the very end in Ether 12:41, he says,
I knew you were going to choose this one. Look, evidence. Well, yeah. I knew that's where he's
well,
going.
Well, my other one, if you chose that one, was going to be like, I glory in my Jesus. So I was like, I'm going to choose one of the other.
You guys have the same brain.
Yeah. He says, I would commend you, you know, I would beg you, I would plead with you, I would challenge you, he says, to seek this Jesus, of whom the apostles and prophets have written, that the grace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost may be and abide in you forever. That's his intention in writing the record. He's like, I want you to seek for him. I want you to look for him in your own story and in your own life. Like he's like, I've shown you how other people sought for him and found him. Now I want you, you know, to do that as well. And to learn what his character is like. You know, you can learn the character of Christ in the Book of Mormon by seeing how he interacts with these people. One of the things Mormon tells you at the beginning is, I'm going to show you that he doesn't forget people. Like the whole like existence of the Book of Mormon is evidence that God doesn't forget whole continents of people. And I want you to know that is one aspect of his character, is that he's not going to abandon you, that he's not going to leave you. Like he will be there. However messy your story is, he will always be there in it with you. And I want you to see that in other people's lives so that you can start recognizing it more in yours.
It'd be an interesting experience, based on what you guys have said about studying the Book of Mormon, being able to engage in general conference in the same way. Look at how those that speak, how they know their Jesus. That's an interesting, like very alive kind of exchange with Jesus that I have never considered before sitting here at this point.
Well, and I think you could if you went into general conference with that perspective, because when someone tells a story in general conference, what they're telling is, let me show you how God has moved and worked in my story. Like that's what makes a good sacrament meeting talk too. I was like, don't do a book report for us on a general conference talk. That was their story. That's great. We want to see how is God alive?
Yeah.
How has he redeemed you? How has he rescued you? How has he not forgotten you? Where have you seen evidence of that in your story? Let me see him on a Wednesday afternoon on 1900 South in Lehi. Like that thrills my soul, you know?
A bizarre question I have is, you guys spend a lot of time doing this. Are your spouses friends with each other and kind of like, don't miss this widows? Like they're like, they got to record for general conference weekend, so they've got a three-peat this weekend. I guess we're going to go take the kids to the movies or how.
That's awesome. Greg and Jenny are actually both very responsible people compared to us.
Okay.
So they're the brains behind everything that we're doing. They kind of keep us on track, and Greg watches the numbers. We have no idea what the numbers are ever. But Greg watches the numbers. Jenny is a really good sounding board for us. So we go out about once a month and just kind of talk about what's happening and what could we do better? What are some ideas?
Yeah, it's supposed to be ideas, and usually the ideas come like the last 10 minutes of dinner because we just are good friends. We're just, you know, but it's fun. Yeah, they think it's just as fun, I think, or they're lying.
I hope so. The look he just gave you, Emily, I think, right? If you were different, I'm not sure. There's three questions that we ask everyone who steps here into the Cultural Hall. I'll ask those of you. We'll go back and forth, one, so on. The first question is, do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it? We'll start with you, David.
Yep. I am a newly called Elders Quorum President.
Nice. Good for you. So, pretty active area. Because I'm in an Elder's Quorum presidency, and I'm in the inner city of Salt Lake, and it is the most exhausting thing ever. huge boundaries with lots of people who nothing to do with the church.
Yeah. I don't know. It's good. We just moved into this neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
So I honestly have.
So they got you.
Yeah.
You coming.
The missionaries, like we were having this, you know, yesterday was the church, the Sunday before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we in our ward had a nice Christmas whatever program, and then treats afterwards. We did a little open house for people to come and just eat and, you know,
mingle. And
yeah, yeah.
If there were any visitors, be able to be like, yeah, oh, just yeah, like, hey,
this is fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually really fun. I told my bishop, I was like, we should do this once a quarter and every fifth Sunday. Everyone likes this better than whatever else we were going to do. But the missionaries were there, and they were just like, can you who are some people here that you think might benefit from a visit from us? And I was like, elders, I could tell you the names of four people in this room. So I have no clue who's even here. I really have no clue. My advice to you would just be to walk around and just chat with people, you know, give them some love, take them a cookie from the table. But so I really don't know what I'm in for.
Good luck.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just right now it's.
What about you, Emily?
Gospel doctrine.
Right okay. Of course, they keep you teaching.
Which I love. I love teaching. So that's fun.
I feel like you love most everything.
That's so yeah.
That's sort of the vibe. And it's no sort of knock. Like like you're just like, yes, I love that.
It's true.
Like if ever I was like, you know, what do you think about that? And you're like, well, I like it. I'd be like, listen, I know you hate it. I'm sorry. I get it. If you guys could pick a calling for yourself,
this is my favorite question. I already know mine. Do you know yours?
Yeah, but you have to go first. It's your turn. I went first on the last one.
I wish you could put up signs in your front yard. You know, like when you're going to sell your house.
Okay.
Instead, calling I want. Then the bishop can just drive by and he'd be like, oh yeah, that actually would be a good
one
for
you. Wait, why are you going to sign up? I just go tell the bishop what I want. I just tell him.
I'm more of an in the background type of person.
So what calling would it be that you would
on
pick?
Your sign.
16, 17 year old Sunday school.
Oh my gosh.
Wish I could teach that for the rest of my life.
I am so grateful there are people like you.
That's my favorite calling.
I'll take it. Like the only thing that would be harder for me than that would be nursery. And I'm just like, no, church is true. Call me in 5 years when you don't want me to be in the nursery anymore and I'll come back.
Awesome.
What about for you, David?
Mine's a tie. It's a three-way tie. So I could take any. I give my bishop options. I was like, look, you can pray about these three. It's going to be one of them. I want to teach the kids who are getting baptized that year in primary. I don't know what year that is.
Yeah,
you know?
Like 7, 8.
Yeah.
It's the nurse, and whatever.
CTR. Is that what I'm yeah, that one. Or I want to be the librarian.
You would be a terrible librarian.
Why?
You cannot be the librarian.
Why? I'd be so good.
Everything would be lost after the first
thing. That is Jenny. I'm with Jenny. Like, she can keep track of the things.
Oh, so it has to be a couple calling.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
He's just the chatty one.
Exactly. I wanted, and so that's why it's tied with, like, the greeter. I'm
going
to be lazy about it. Like, I legitimately, I'd learn everyone's name. I want to, like, I'd hand out mints? I don't know. Like,
listen,
I could be a really good greeter.
Listen, don't knock the greeter, though, because...
I'm not knocking it. Be it.
Like, but in our ward, like, next to the bishop, probably the most valuable calling in my ward is the greeter, because we have so many, not transient, like homeless, but like people who kind of come one time and then don't come again.
I know.
Like, it is honestly a vital, who are you? How are you? Welcome, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Role that I think oftentimes it gets the rub of like
exactly,
eh, it's a greeter.
Exactly. No, listen, our church says visitors welcome, but I don't know if people feel really welcome.
No,
because
ever.
who welcomes you at the door and says like, hey, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know you.
Yeah,
like what's you know or whatever.
Should you just be the greeter? Just to
I
be
am.
The greeter?
I just am. Okay. I really do. Like Jenny's like, you have to be back to your seat before church starts. That is your rule. That's your job. Because like I just walk around the, you know, and I want to talk to people. I feel like, oh. And now it's a little awkward, but I just kind of breeze through the awkward of right. You know, I'll talk to someone who's lived in the ward for 20
you new
years.
And they're like,
and I would just say, hi, I'm, you know. I have that going for me right now.
Sure.
I'm just like, we just moved in, so I don't know you. You know, who are you? So. That's my three-way tie. I'd do all three. I could do all three.
Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah, I teach primary
in your
one
spare
week,
time. Yeah, you got it.
Well, they're all on Sunday. It's good. I already have it blocked out.
Yeah,
it's already
sure. Just take the whole day.
So.
Your poor wife with your six kids is like, Daddy will be home when he's done with his calling.
Listen, Jenny gets to go to the Celestial Kingdom just because
for marrying
she said yes.
Just for marrying
that's
him.
It.
Yeah, no, we got
that's
that.
That's the only reason.
I just yeah. tell her. I was like, listen, you knew what I was when you
picked me up.
I love it.
Line. People can pick up the book. Don't miss this at any Deseret Book or online. Is there an online, like a Kindle version as well?
Yep.
People can fill in?
Yeah. There's for both of them, for the study journal and for the devotional book, there's a physical copy and an online copy. Hopefully by the time this airs, they will be in the stores. They're sold out right now.
But we're hoping they're coming soon.
And you guys continue to do the videos throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like another online community? Is there like a Facebook group or anything like that where people can be like, oh, this is
Instagram.
Great. Instagram.
Yep. They can find us on Instagram at Don't Miss This Study.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where we live.
Well, we hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.